Okay, I'm delighted to have another guest in the studio this morning. It's Professor Mike Neary, who's Dean of Teaching and Learning at the University of Lincoln. And I'm going to be talking to him about the university's Learning Landscapes project. Mike, can you tell me what the project's about?
Yes, Learning Landscapes is a project funded by HEFCE, the Welsh Funding Council, and the Scottish Funding Council. And it's about engaging academics in the design of new teaching and learning environments in higher education. And in particular, it's about engaging academics with states, offices, universities, and other key stakeholders.
So we're really talking about not a metaphorical learning landscape, but a physical learning landscape then, Mike?
A physical learning landscape and a virtual learning landscape. So one of the key issues for the project is looking at the relationship between the virtual and the real learning environments.
And can you tell me what that means? You're doing some work in the university on this project, yes. What does that mean in your context?
Yeah, well, it's a project that involves more than the University of Lincoln. It involves 12 projects, 12 universities across the UK, including Newcastle, York, Warwick, Oxford Brookes, in Wales, the University of Glendur, in Scotland, Glasgow University, and others. And so we're looking at the ways in which those universities have been redesigning and designing their new teaching and learning places and spaces, and what they've learned from that. So we're taking their learning experiences and putting them all together in a research project, and we're designing some tools that hopefully other academics and estates, officers, and other key stakeholders can use to assist them in the process of building and designing teaching and learning and university for the 21st century.
And what have they learnt? Can you tell us some of the things which are coming out?
Yes. Well, I think they've learned the importance of the student voice in the processes of consultation. But one of the things we've learned is that while it's easy to say you should involve students in these processes, not all universities or the sector as a whole has worked out a good way of actually involving students and making sure that their voices are heard in a meaningful way. This is what the students tell us. We've also learned about the importance of finding a way of finding a language or a common language through which academics can talk to estates officers. In the sector, there is something of a negative caricature on both sides. Estates officers think academics are rather unworldly. Academics think estates officers are rather too worldly and haven't got enough creative imagination. This, of course, is a caricature, and we found lots of very excellent good practice in the universities by which they are finding ways of getting these two groups together, these two different cultures. So we've learned.
And I saw on the HEFCE webpage they were talking about bringing together the modern with the traditional academic atmosphere. Yeah. Is that possible? Yeah.
Yes, I think, and it's essential. And what's important about that, I think, is that when we talk about innovation, we don't want to be throwing things away. We don't want to be throwing away the customs and traditions of university, the way in which things are taught. We don't want to be suggesting that innovation is all we should be doing or that we should be looking forward to developing. So, yes, it is possible and desirable, I think.
And what does that mean for the use of technology in universities then?
Well, I think, universities are really only now coming to grips with the implications and the potential of new technologies in teaching and learning, and some of the fundamental changes that may need to take place in the teaching and learning process. There was a very good report recently published by the HEA and HEFCE on higher education and the Web 2 environment, for example, and how the Web 2 environment, through its promotion of communities of practice and connectivities and communalities, actually challenges some of the hierarchical relationships within which universities subsist in the way in which people do research and teach, particularly academics and students. I think one of the key things we are finding with this is that there is something of a but it may be too strong to say, something of a paradigm shift in the university environment, within which undergraduate students are now being much more engaged in the research project of the university. And what's interesting is the way in which new technologies can be used to enhance this, as well as the design of teaching and learning and office and research environments.
And I suppose one thing which is preoccupying a lot of people at the moment, what's the future for universities? Let's dream ahead a bit. How are they going to change?
Well, that's a big, very big question, and I think that's a very political and politicised question. And in the immediate period, I think it depends on the policies of currently New Labour on Labour and what the Tories want to do when they get in. But I think what's important in whatever the changes are is that we hear very clearly the academic voice in this process. And an important aspect of the Learning Landscapes project has been to intellectualise the issue of teaching and learning in research environments. So to try and get some critical thinking into all of this, some social science and some political science in particular. So that's sort of a key issue of helping us to think critically about the university. And one of the tools, in fact, that we have designed, which we call the idea of the university, reimagining the future of higher education, is to say that in order to have some ideas about what the future of the university is, we need to have some sense of its history. So the tool looks at the various ideals, the various university ideals that have subsisted since the first medieval university and in a way they have been transformed for the last 600 or 700 years. So the history is important in creating the future.
I'm very happy since my original degree is in history. It's good to see it's being used.
Yeah, good.
Mike, thank you very much. We're running out of time here, but if people want to find out more about what sounds an extremely interesting project, including me, I want to find out more, where can we go?
Well, you can go to the University of Lincoln. We're just in the process of finishing up our website. So, but in the meantime, they can contact me at mneary@lincoln.ac.uk and I'll help them out.
Okay, we're going into a musical break now, but come back and there'll be more on the programme. Thanks very much, Mike.